You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Divorce shatters so many dreams. Is remarriage the answer? Dr. Meyer talks about it in his next message, titled, The Pieces of Dreams. Once again, here is Dr. Meyer.
Regard in mercy, O Lord, your servants for whom the bond of wedded love and faithfulness has been broken, and grant that repenting their part in their condition, and confessing before you, they may have the assurance of your compassion and the knowledge of your healing power. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Life can devastate your dreams. As young people, we set out full of idealism and hope. Romance was on our horizon, inviting us to come. But one by one, most of the dreams were broken. Divorce is a terrible destroyer of our dreams. Is there anything you can do after your dreams have been shattered? Yes, there is. My message today is that you can put those pieces of your dreams back together. You're not the first person to have your dreams shattered. Almost 2,000 years ago, the followers of Jesus saw their world fall apart. They had set their earthly hopes on Jesus. Their future looked fantastic until the authorities arrested Jesus, held a rigged trial, and sentenced him to death. There was no last-minute reprieve from the governor. Jesus was executed. We were hoping that he was going to be the one who would free Israel, said two of Jesus' disciples, but their dreams had been shattered. However, God put the pieces of their broken dreams together on Easter Sunday, and he put those pieces of dreams together in a more beautiful way than the disciples could ever have imagined. God raised Jesus from the dead. That resurrection changed the disciples' lives. That resurrection can change yours, too. The power that brought Jesus back to life is still available to resurrect hope in your life. The pieces of your shattered dreams can be put together by God and arranged in a more beautiful way than you can imagine. Let me say now, and I'll return to this later, the key for you is not remarriage, which may or may not happen. The key to putting the dream together in your life is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Since God was able and willing to raise the dead body of Jesus, his son, and since God is pleased to offer victory over death itself to all who believe and follow Jesus, then this same God is certainly able and willing to put the pieces of your shattered dreams together in a way that will surprise and delight you. The Bible promises that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I think it's like a kaleidoscope. You know that little toy? Shaped like a small telescope, you look into the kaleidoscope and see little pieces of colored glass. As you turn the kaleidoscope, those pieces constantly rearrange themselves, always making a beautiful sight for you to behold. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is like that kaleidoscope. When your dreams are shattered and in disarray, when you need hope, God's powerful Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is available to help you. Of course, you have to look. What good is a kaleidoscope if you don't look? You yourself have the responsibility to look at the broken pieces of your dreams. I can't do it for you. Your friends can help, but they can't do it for you. God himself, who so much wants to help you, won't force you. You have to look at the broken pieces of your dreams, and you have to look objectively. Looking objectively at your situation means that you won't wallow in self-pity. feeling sorry for yourself isn't going to do you any good. It's not going to get the pieces together into something beautiful. Instead, it'll leave you like Humpty Dumpty. You'll never be whole again. Looking objectively means that you won't cloud your judgment with romance. Divorce has shattered your dreams and broken your heart. You're vulnerable, and you can be hurt again. Romance has its time, but that time probably is not now. Looking objectively means that remarriage is not the answer. Honestly, if the first marriage didn't work, why will you do better by plunging into a second marriage? Many divorces these days are divorces that end second marriages. Looking objectively also means that you don't blame other people for all your problems. There's plenty of blame to go around. If others are at fault, leave that to God. You need your energies to analyze your mistakes and get your life back on track. You have to look objectively at your shattered dreams. When you do that to God, we call it confession. Psalm 32 says, "I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord." And then the psalmist adds, "And you forgave the iniquity of my sin." This is where the broken dreams start to come into beautiful focus. Don't despair when you see the fragments of your dreams. Instead, just as a kaleidoscope beautifully arranges the broken pieces of glass, so the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Savior, can give a beauty to life that you've never known before. Do you remember what I said earlier? Jesus was condemned to death in a rigged trial. Though it was unjust, God used the crucifixion to punish the sins of the whole world. God punished Jesus for your sins and for mine, and that includes any fault that you have in your divorce. God did this because He wants to put the pieces of your sinful life together again. In Jeremiah 29, God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Although Christ's crucifixion was caused by a rigged trial, God seized upon the cross as the way to put the pieces of your life together. By the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday morning, God let us all know that we are acquitted. We are judged innocent. Jesus' own trial may have been rigged, but yours and mine isn't. We are sinners, and God, our judge, is holy. The sentence against our sin was taken by Jesus. Because He paid the price, there was no reason for Him to stay imprisoned in death. God released Him. God raised Him from the dead. So, your sentence has been paid. God says to all who believe in Jesus, "You are acquitted. You are innocent, not because of what you have done, but because Jesus carried out your sentence." And now, says God, acquitted by Jesus, it's time for you and me to get on with your life. "Let my word and spirit move you ahead now," God says. Stop seeing only your broken dreams and start seeing those pieces as the materials of a life that is given meaning by the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3. "I consider everything as a loss, because it is so much better to know Christ Jesus as my Lord. For Him I have lost everything, and consider it garbage in order to gain Christ and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which comes from keeping the law, but having the righteousness which is through faith in Christ, and which comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Him, both the power of His resurrection and the close relationship that we have with His suffering." You see, Jesus Christ is everything. Apart from Him, the only thing you have are the broken pieces of dreams that, like Humpty Dumpty, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put together again. Paul goes on in that same chapter to say something that is very practical, especially for you who have been divorced. He says, I do not mean that I have already reached the goal or have already completed the course, but I eagerly strive to lay claim to that for which Jesus Christ also claimed me. Paul is patient with himself, but he's also not coddling himself. There's a lot at stake with these broken dreams, not only for the divorced, but for everyone. As the power of the resurrection comes to bear in our lives, we've got to be patient, but we also can't coddle ourselves. Like Paul, you and I need to bend all our energies to know Jesus Christ. That's the only way to put the broken pieces of life together. Paul goes on and says, "Fellow Christians, I do not think I have it in my hands, but one thing I do. I forget what is behind, I reach for what is ahead, and with my eyes on the mark, I go after the heavenly prize to which God has called us in Christ Jesus." Your constant goal must be Jesus Christ. Only then will the pieces of your life fall into place. Then, only then, should you consider remarriage as a possibility. Earlier in this message, we looked objectively at the broken pieces of your dreams. Now, in the light of the resurrection of Jesus, let's look objectively at the question of remarriage. First, you must let sufficient time pass. Jesus was adamantly opposed to quickie divorce and remarriage. That was possible in Bible times. Back then, you could divorce your spouse at a moment's notice and then marry someone else. Jesus called that adultery, because marriage is to be a lasting institution. Remembering that the grief process after divorce takes at least 2 years, you should let that much time or more pass before considering remarriage. Second, you should not decide to remarry without spiritual consultation. Divorce is not the will of God. For whatever reason your divorce happened, you need to work it through with a spiritual counselor. Talk to a pastor. Talk with him on the basis of confession and absolution, on the basis of your sin and God's forgiveness to the repentant sinner. Third, before you remarry, have you analyzed the failure of your first marriage? Have you examined why the dream broke? When you've done that, have you taken steps to improve yourself? True repentance is not only confession and absolution, it is also improvement, living more the way God wants you to live. Fourth, have you forgiven your ex? And are you striving to improve your relationship with him or her? If you haven't done that, forget about remarriage. Have you stopped running your ex down? Have you stopped being agitated over the past? Have you started to say good things about your ex? If your ex is still on your hit list, then you're not ready for remarriage. Fifth, before you consider remarriage, you should be content with your life as a single. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Whatever happens, give thanks, because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this." Psalm 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Before you consider remarriage, you should be truly content with your life as a single. Sixth, when you meet someone and start to talk about marriage, don't be blinded by love. Don't rush into remarriage. You've had Christian friends who helped you through the broken dreams of divorce. Seek the opinions of these, your Christian friends, about remarriage. And finally, remember that remarriage isn't the key to putting your life together. The resurrection of Jesus Christ for us sinners, that's the key. As Paul said, "With my eyes on the mark, I go after the heavenly prize to which God has called us in Christ Jesus." Focus on Jesus Christ, and the pieces of your life will fall into place. A divorced woman who has not remarried told me this. "I'm happier," she said, "than I've ever been in my life." She got the pieces of her life together again. This is more than a kaleidoscope. It's Jesus Christ, whose resurrection can bring the pieces of your life into beautiful focus. Amen.